Amen. Praise the Lord for that special and just what we've already received just being in the Lord's house tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 3. Genesis and chapter 3, we started last Sunday night and teaching on the topic of praise, stress. And praises was one we just got through in Sunday school. But on this idea of stress. And it's something that affects all of us. It's something that affects humanity. We read the verse, chapter 3, verses 1 through 19, and we're going to read it again tonight because there's so much in this. But last week we read this to find the roots of stress. Where did it come from? It was not how God designed life. They did not have it. Humanity, Adam and Eve, did not have it. Through the design and what God had created for them, it was not found in the Garden of Eden. It was not found in their relationships. They had perfect peace. They had everything exactly the way God designed it, and God says it was all good. It wasn't until after sin that everything changed. And that's the root. That is the roots, and we've seen how it changed. We focused on just what they did after the sin and how their relationship with each other changed, how their relationship with God changed, and fear came into their lives. They had to look to blame somebody else for what they did, and all the different things that are related to how we deal with stress and what stress can cause. And so we find that the root, and we looked at that, the roots of stress began with sin. Can I tell you that it's in each and every one of us? Now, we understand and we gave you Webster's definition of stress, but really nobody truly knows where it comes from outside of the Bible, outside of understanding that it began with sin. And the sin nature had come down, and because man had a sin nature now, they would stress over a lot of different things. But stress is not contagious. So you don't have to, being around a stressful individual does not mean that you're going to catch it, okay? Because it's not a germ. It's not a virus. And the doctors can tell you they can diagnose about every health problem you have is related to it, but they can't pinpoint what it is. And as we understand God and we understand the Bible and what God's given to us, just as we preached on this morning, we need to know who God is and how God works. And we can have an understanding of the root of stress to be able to know how to deal with stress and actually turn it around and benefit from it. And I believe once we get finished with this series on this idea of stress, according to what the Bible teaches us, that we will learn how to benefit from it, how to turn it around and allow it to be used for something that will strengthen us. So last week, the roots of stress. Tonight, I want to look at this very same passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at exactly what happened, because what happened is what continues to happen today. Okay? And it's recorded for us so we might learn from this. Okay, so go ahead and go stand with me. We're going to be reading Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. The Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open." Now they have a sin nature. They have sinned, and now they incurred the sin nature. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked, and hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again tonight, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church and for each one that had a desire to be here. I pray, God, that you would speak to them and bless them because of their desire to know more and learn more about you. I just pray that you'd bless in the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. So the roots of sin, we find it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back to sin. And once they incurred the sin nature, which was the penalty for their sin, and even though they didn't understand everything about it, we find that their lives changed. And we find the stress in their lives and how they did things and how they were uncomfortable with themselves and how they were uncomfortable with their spouse, how they were uncomfortable with God and how they tried to excuse away their sin, all the different things that we looked at last week. Well, tonight again, I want you to see not only the roots of it, but what happened. What happened for them to have this stress in their lives? Well, first of all, we look at what God allowed. What God allowed. God allowed Satan to tempt Adam and Eve. First of all, Eve, and through Eve, he tempted Adam. And we find here in verses 1 through 5, that's exactly what took place. Did God not know that Satan was going to work through the serpent? That at that time, in the beginning of creation, was one of the most beautiful creatures that God created. Did God not know that Satan was going to try to work through that creature that he created, the serpent, to be able to turn Adam and Eve against the Lord and cause them to sin and do what God commanded them not to do? And the answer is yes. God is a sovereign God. God is an omniscient God. There's nothing that God does not know, and there's nothing that God cannot control. But we find that God allows certain things in man's life. God allowed Satan to tempt. As God was aware of it then, God is aware of it today. There's going to come a time when Satan is not going to be allowed to tempt humanity any longer. At the end of this world, Satan is going to be bound, and he's going to be cast into Gehenna, hell, for an eternity. And he will never be able to tempt humanity again. But while he is still out and allowed to roam the earth, and while man is still on the face of the earth, Satan is a tempter. So what God allowed then is the same today. God allows this to test man's love and commitment to him. Again, we find that God created man with a free will. God did not create man to be a robot. God does not force you to love him. God does not force you to get saved. God does not force you to be in church. God does not force you to do right. God does not even tempt you to do right. Satan will tempt you, but God will never tempt you to do right. God says, if you're going to do right, you're going to choose to do right. I'll spell it out for you. I'll give you the understanding of it. I'll give you the negatives with the positives, if you will. I'll tell you the results of it if you don't serve me. But God will never tempt you to do something right. He has given you a free will, and he wants you to make the right choices. He created Adam and Eve in his own likeness, in his own image. He wanted them to choose him. He wanted them to choose to worship him and to obey his command. Mankind was created for God's pleasure. The Bible teaches us that. But it's not pleasurable if they are forced to love him. If they are forced to show him affection. God does not work that way. And so in order to test the love of mankind, in order to test the faith of man, the love of man for God and the commitment the man has to God, he has to allow certain things. And one of the things that he's going to allow during even through this church age is Satan to tempt. Now, he gives us a warning. He spells it out for us, but he has to allow Satan to tempt man so that we might be tested. Not that God does not know, but that we might know. You say you love God? How do you show that? You show that by obeying his commandments. Isn't that what Jesus taught? Show it by your commitment to God. Show it by how you're going to live. Show it by a desire to fellowship with God without being tempted, without being forced. And so we find here that that's exactly what was taking place here in the Garden of Eden. God made everything perfect. He gave them everything that they could have imagined. But there was one tree, and that one tree was the one thing that he told them not to partake of. And that is no doubt the one tree that Satan wanted them to focus on. He does not want us to focus on all the blessings of God and everything that you do have. He's going to try to get you to focus on maybe what you don't have. And so we find that God allows this to test man's love and commitment to him. Man failed. But think of what could have been. If Eve, and I think Eve added a little bit to it, I don't see where God said not to touch it. I think, and we might see that a little bit later, it could have been Adam knowing Eve and saying, I'm going to even tell you a little bit more. Don't even get close to it. God says not to eat it, but he said, you were going to die. Don't even get close to it. Don't touch it. Somehow that come out of Eve that she was not even supposed to touch it. That's not what we find in what the Bible says in God's warning. We'll see that in a little bit. But whatever it was, she was being tempted. And she knew that she was not to have that. But Satan convinced her. You'll become as gods. You'll have more. God's trying to limit you to your enjoyment. God's trying to limit you on what you can get out of life. There's more here. And if you'll just do this, if you'll just do that, then you can have everything that God is trying to keep you from having. The very same tempter that we have today. But if she would have said, Satan, get behind me. I love my God. I'm committed to obedience. I'm committed to doing what God wants me to do. Look at everything that he's gave me. How in the world could I turn on the God that loves me, that gave me life, that does this and that, and has done everything else for it. How can I turn against a God like that? No, I love my God. Amen. Get thee behind me. If she would have done that, just think of the difference it would have. She would not have been able to allow Adam to sin and the both of them to receive a sin nature and die. it would have been a stress-free environment still. So with that understanding, God warned them. God warns us as well. Let me just read to you what God says in chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, he was going to enjoy that. God created him to work. God created him with purpose and all the things, and he was going to keep that, and he was going to enjoy every bit of that. There would have been no stress in doing that. That would have been nothing but vacation. That would have been enjoyment. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So the warning's there. He knows this. But man failed. Now with that in mind, look over with me to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh to dwell among us, to give us an example of how we ought to live our life in the flesh, in the physical state of man. And in doing this, he came with one intent, to be obedient to the Father. Once he had accomplished by bringing the revelation to mankind, then he would deliver himself to be a sacrificial lamb. He would go to the cross of Calvary. He would suffer and bleed and die to pay our sin debt. He would resurrect on the third day. And he would ascend into heaven to ever live to make intercession for us. That's what he came to do. Satan knew that. As Satan knew exactly what God commanded Adam and Eve. And the tempter comes. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Wow. Today, whatever God allows has the potential for something good. As we preach on this morning, if we will understand that we know who God is, we know how God works, we know His purpose in all things, then we can glory in tribulations. Even when God allows us to have to go through the trials, when God allows us to be tempted, when God allows certain things to happen, there is potential. Something good can come out of that. But when we fail the test of whatever God allows into our lives, whatever trials we go through, whatever tests we go through, when we fail the test, the very same thing will happen to us that happened to Adam and Eve. Satan will get a victory, and with that victory, you will be stressed. Something within you. Satan will get a victory from within you. And it will be hard for you to handle the things that God would have you to handle. When you are given into stress and Satan is using this and you turn and make the right, wrong decisions with what God allows, you're going to bring these things that God allowed for something good to come out of it is going to be turned around. And what God allowed for good, you're going to enable Satan to cause more evil. You're going to allow him to bring something into your life that's going to bring stress and oppression and things that will take away from you the very peace of God. If God says there's a need for us to go through trials, then we understand who God is and we glory in the trial and we go through the trial making the right decisions. By faith, we're looking to God and we're saying, whatever the temptations are, get thee behind me, devil. I'm not listening to you. I have the instructions and the commandments and the directions of God. And if God allowed this into my life, if God allowed this temptation, if God allowed this trial, there is something. There's a potential of something good. Amen. And so, what God allowed actually led to the fall of mankind. But before God allowed it, He warned them. Before God allowed it, He gave them instructions on what they should and should not do. If they would have made the right decisions, they could have eliminated the stress that was brought into their lives by what God allowed. If we make the right decisions in the face of adversity, if we make the right decisions in the face of trials and temptations, if we make the right decisions, it'll bring peace instead of stress. If you make the wrong decisions and you have a free will to be able to make the wrong decisions, listen to me, it will bring stress into your life. The things that God allowed. We need to keep the faith and respond accordingly. Respond according to the faith that we have in God, in His commandments, in His ways, even when it comes to dealing with the things that God allows. Go back with me to Genesis. There we find the first five verses, God allowed that. As God was aware then, God is aware today, and Jesus helped us to understand we are going to be tempted. God has to allow that. We are going to face trials. We're going to face a lot of things. And the answer to that, as given to us by the example of our Lord and Savior, follow the Word of God. Love God more. Amen. Be committed to God more than you're going to be committed to anything else. Yeah. Well, the next thing we find is what man brought upon himself. Some things God allows into our lives, some things God brings into our lives, but most of the time, our stress is brought on by what we do. It is. What man brought upon himself. All right, now we have the warning of God, and we have the clear instructions of God, and now we have the tempter, and he's trying to make everything that God says a lie. He's trying to confuse the situation and all the things coming down, and there is a spiritual battle going on, and man makes a decision. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, sometimes you got to override the lust of the eyes, which is the lust of the flesh. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired, a lust. How many of mankind have fallen to lust to only bring about stress that they could have never even imagined? Yeah. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They're both guilty. From the moment of sin, life changed. Because now they've incurred what God said the penalty was, death. Instantaneously, their relationship with God died. It separated them from a spiritual relationship with God. They were still God's creation. God still loved them. And that's why God would have to send His only begotten Son to pay a sin debt that they owed and could not pay. And he had to go through the entire Old Testament to prepare humanity for that ultimate sin sacrifice. But they died in that there was their relationship with God was severed. And he told them that they would die. And so now that they've incurred the sin, the first thing that happens is their relationship with God is totally different. It's they're dead in their relationship with God. And then in their physical body, their makeup, the makeup of humanity changed. Because now they are starting to age. And they would ultimately die a physical death. They did not understand all of that at that moment, but that's exactly as we have the scriptures to read and to study and understand. We know that's exactly what happened at that moment when they did that which God told them not to do and they chose to sin. Then everything changed. They died spiritually in their relationship with God and they started to die physically in that from that day forward, they would come closer and closer to death. Physical death, which changes everything, which has the potential for stress every day, in every action, in every thought. Romans chapter 6. You know the verse very well if you understand Romans' road of salvation. You got to get somebody lost or get them saved. And so the Bible says, first of all, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this is what we want them to get with. You're a sinner. And because you're a sinner, for the wages of sin is death. Because we are sinners, the Bible says the wages, the payment for that, what's going to follow that is death. You're dead in a relationship with God. And ultimately, if you don't get saved, you're going to die a second death, and that is going to be cast into eternal damnation. And then you want to help them to understand where their sin come from. And you take them back to Romans in chapter 5. In Romans in chapter 5, it says this in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man..." That's what we've just read in the book of Genesis. Sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. What we read in Genesis chapter 3 is an account of sin entering into the world and how that changed mankind. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." As soon as they sinned, the debt, they incurred the penalty of sin, the wages of sin, which is a death to their relationship with God, and a death in that they would die a physical death. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because we are the seed of Adam. And now, because he has a sin nature, his DNA is passed down to all mankind. The DNA that God looks at has a sin nature that we're born with. Tainted blood. That's why man could not die for man and get the forgiveness of God, because mankind's blood is tainted. There was only one sinless blood. Because there was only one that did not have a sin nature. There was only one that could actually pay the sin debt, and that was Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that we understand the virgin birth of Christ, that we understand that Jesus Christ was not just a man. He was God manifested in the flesh, because his blood was sinless blood. And that's what it took for a man to be redeemed, justified in the eyes of God. So, but with that, the potential for stress was in them. Not a germ, not a virus, not really contagious. It's in all of us. The potential for stress. It's in all of us. Because the roots are the sin nature. The sin nature was in them, and it would have an impact on their existence. There would be an inward battle with self, which is the flesh. This is what we bring on ourselves. Now that we have a sin nature, there's an inward battle. And when you give in to the flesh, you are giving in to the potential of great stress. When you turn away from the flesh and you turn to God and you live the spiritual life that God wants you to live, then you have this peace and you have this joy. And if you can truly do that, and we can, we die to self and we become alive unto God. And when you're alive unto God and you're yielding to this new man that you have in you now, will bring about something that we're looking for, something that we're seeking after, and that is a peace. And a certain joy. But because of the flesh, there would be an inward battle. You maybe heard it before, but maybe it makes more sense now. You are your worst enemy. Your worst enemy dwells within you. You can do more to destroy yourself than what anybody else can do to you. Because you have a sin nature. You want to get away from stress? You want to have the peace and the joy of God? Then you have to start making the right decisions to crucify the flesh and be alive unto God. So, self-inflicted stress. That's most of our problems. Really is. Not just what God allows. What God allows, if you don't deal with that properly, then Satan will use that to bring stress into your life. But what most of us have the greatest problem with in dealing with stress is self-inflicted. The second thing is that we bring on ourselves. There's a battle with other sinners. For God so loved the world. Now, what's he talking about there? All humanity. But the enemy to the believer is the world, the flesh, and the devil. What's the world? Other sinners. The philosophy that the lost want you to live by. The ways of the world that if you're not careful, that you will start lusting after or start to accept as your own lifestyle. Where does it come from? It comes from the philosophies and of other sinners. The thoughts of the world, which are actually developed from a sinful nature, which Satan has access to that. And Satan is. We have the nature of the devil himself. And so when we give in to the sin nature, Satan's able to have even greater victories in our lives. So part of it is understanding that there's other people that if I allow them can bring stress into my life, but their stress is going to be brought into my life as they commit sin and as they live a sinful life. And if I allow that sinful life or that sinner to impact my life, it's going to bring stress into my life. You can't do anything about somebody else's treatment of you. But if every one of us would just start focusing on our treatment of others, think of the stress-free environment this church would have. Well, preacher, you don't know. But if they would do what you're supposed to do, and you can't control them, but you can control you. And if everybody in this auditorium, if every member of this church would control themselves, stress-free environment. Amen. But because the world does not control themselves, because the world makes wrong decisions, their sins will affect your life as long as you allow their sins to affect your life. the way they treat you. If you're not careful, you're going to take that farther than what you ought to take that, and you're going to stress out over somebody else's thoughts of you. Amen. I'm just saying stress is within us. The potential for stress is within us. The potential for stress in what God allows, and what we bring on ourselves. And that's the most important thing, because you can control that more than any other thing. There would be an inward battle. The only one that control you is you. There's going to be an outward battle with the world or other people. You decide how you're going to let somebody else impact your life. Don't allow that negative, sinful life, no matter who it is that's doing it, to affect your life. Turn it over to God. And stay focused on your part in the relationship. I often tell married couples that's having problems, divorce is inevitable with some, because it takes two to make any relationship work, to be what God wants it to be. But if both will make this one commitment, I'm going to be exactly what God wants me to be in this relationship. If both of you make that commitment, your marriage's problems are solved. One person cannot hold that relationship together, but two people committed to God, their relationship cannot be separated. And so what I want to do, if I'm going to have a failed relationship, I am going to make dead sure I am not the reason for the failed relationship, because you are the one that's going to be held most accountable, and you will be accountable to God for your part in whatever the relationship. Amen. But if both of you just make that commitment, then you'll be all you can be, your spouse will be all they can be, and you'll live happily ever after. Stress free. Because God is controlling the environment and not the sin nature. What man brings upon himself, there will be an inward battle. There will be a battle with the world, other mankind. And there's going to be a battle in the relationship we have between God and the devil. Wow. Ephesians in chapter 6. You know the verse very well. Now I'm going to get ready to close. I don't want to take too much more time here. But Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 12. This battle taken place in our lives can cause tremendous stress unless you make sure that you're yielding to your relationship with God. We read this morning. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you do that, you're looking to God. But the Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, the first battle that we have is not physical, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What is he saying? He's saying that we have a spiritual battle that we fight with every day. You don't hear it. You don't see it. It's within you. It's suggestions that Satan puts into your heart and your mind. That's part of the temptations. And you choose who you listen to. You choose whether you listen to the devil and that old demonic spirit, and he can be identified with what he's trying to suggest to you. If he suggests something to you that God has not commanded, if he's going to try to suggest to you that God is not who God is, says he is, if he suggests to you as Satan suggested to Eve, you know it's not coming from God. And you reject that spirit. You reject that thought. You reject that temptation. You yield to that which is of God. What man brings upon himself. Lastly, and we're going to close here, but what God's judgment changed. Now, this is what happened. What God allowed, what man brought upon himself, and what God's judgment changed. Verse 14 and 15, we find that God judged the serpent. And we don't have time to go into all that, but he was cursed and went from the most beautiful to the most loathsome creature on the earth. And he's referred to, Satan is referred to as a serpent. The woman would experience sorrow because of the judgment of God. There would be sorrow in conception. It wasn't supposed to be that way. There'd be sorrow, and that's in the relationship. There'd be sorrow in birth. It wasn't supposed to be that way. There would be sorrow in raising children. If you will, there would be sorrow and there would be stress and struggles with life. There's going to be struggles with life, and there's potential for stress because of the judgment of God. The man would experience sorrow. The Bible tells us in verse 17 and 19, it tells us what the judgment upon man. Man would experience sorrow in providing for his family, in living in the living conditions on this earth, and trying to make a living, trying to do whatever. The world, see, all mankind would experience the stress of physical life. The potential for stress is found in everything that we do every day. Because we live in a sin-cursed world. We have a sin nature, and we deal with others with a sin nature. There is a potential for stress in everything in our lives. Even in dying. The stress of health problems. It's going to happen. All of us are going to eventually have health problems. We're going to have failing body parts. Why? Because of the curse of sin. Understanding it. Knowing of the roots of it. Knowing what happened. Will help us to overcome it. Everything changed because of sin and now has the potential of causing stress. It's within you. The potential of stress is within every one of us. What God allows, what man brings on himself, and what we face in nature, in the cycle of life and death. And what we need to learn from all of this is we need the Lord. The answer to all the stress of this life, the answer is in God. Amen. It's in what we preached on this morning. If you wasn't here, get the CD. Being able to glory in tribulations. It's a possibility because that goes right along with having victory over stress. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. There's so much more we need to study and so many examples in the Bible concerning those and that had dealt with stress and how they overcome the stressful situation. There's so much we're going to be looking at on Sunday nights, but we got to get this nailed down first of all. Where it came from and how it impacts my life today, how it impacts your life, and what God allows. There's a potential of something good coming out of whatever God allows. Seek after it. Look for that good. The battle that we bring on ourselves. Oh, how we need to make sure we're making the right decisions every day of our lives. Yielding to the Spirit of God instead of the sin nature. Battle that we face just living life. God is there for us. He knows what you're going through, and He's the one that can get you through it. But you have to ask. You have to seek, and you have to knock. His help's available. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for just understanding things that we are faced with in our life, that we find truth about them in the Bible. And oh, how when we break it down and we understand what you have written down for us to give us the knowledge of things, how it helps us in so many ways. And I pray, God, that we would benefit from what we've heard tonight, that we would start making some changes in how we live life. God, I pray if there's anyone here tonight that does not know you as Savior, that even though we didn't preach on salvation, but it's understood that there has to be salvation in order to get the victory over it. Help each one to look into their own lives to make sure that they have what they need to be able to get the victory. Bless now in this invitation, in Jesus' name.